Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, everyone. As we set up, I want to take the opportunity to greet all of you affectionately. It is a rare privilege to be here at the hub of the preaching of in England. I always was very I felt always very spiritually safe to come here after doing so many outside preaching programs. It's definitely one of my spiritual homes in the sense that I've met here Srila Prabhupada for the last time, and it was here where he impacted my spiritual life in ways that are I perhaps don't even understand. He gave a darshan to a few devotees, Sankirtan devotees and I somehow was included because I was at that time a translator from English to German, and he called us into his room, or we were given a special darshan. Prabhupada knew that we were distributing his books. We were introduced before to him, and he immediately came to the point. He said, "So," I still remember, it was a long drawn out so. Have you understood our philosophy? For Srila Prabhupada, philosophy meant something else perhaps than for the Westerners. It meant darshan, seeing the truth. So have you understood? We would perhaps in our way of language say understood our path of Krishna consciousness. Have you understood? And when your spiritual master asks you such a question, you don't. you know. Now you have to give a good answer and a considered answer. And because I was just too excited, I said, "Better I don't say anything because I say the wrong thing for sure." So everyone else spoke. And then Srila Prabhupada gave us what he wanted to impregnate in our consciousness. He said, first of all, and there was silence in the room. You would say in English, a pin drop silence. First of all, you have to understand, all of us, first of all, to be understood. First of all, you have to understand that life is eternal. And at that moment, when Prabhupada was already with one foot, you could say, in the eternal spiritual reality, he said, there was a lot of meaning in this sentence. Don't grieve. I am not the body. I'm eternal, and so are you. And I'm still unpacking this one sentence. What could it mean practically in 2000? And where are we at the moment, according to conventional understanding? 24, of course, where else? 2024, what could this mean? I'm here, I'm eternal, I'm not the body. This is profound. It means what you see at the moment sitting before you, that's not me. I'm something else. Can you see me? Can I see you? It's profound. So today is the appearance day of Advaitacharya. It's now many appearance days will come. Nityananda Trayodasi, Gauranga Mahaprabhu's appearance day. And I always think this is the day which prepares us for all the other appearance days, because it was due to Advaita Acharya's, listen to this word, clarion call. That's how it is said. Clarion call means like it was loud as a trumpet, that Mahaprabhu descended to this world. Let us go. I'm still not complete, because let me see. I need my second set of eyes here. There's a mantra by which one can take shelter of Advaitacharya. It says, because he is non-different from Hari, the Supreme Lord, he's called Advaita, non-different from... And because he propagates the cult of devotion, he preaches, he is called Acharya. He's the Lord and the incarnation of the Lord's devotees. A devotee. Therefore, I take shelter of him. Please repeat. Advaitam.
Advaitam.
Harinadvaita.
Harinadvaita.
Achayam.
Achayam.
Bhakti
samsana.
Bhaktavataram. Isham tam.
Advaitacharyam
Ashraye. Good. I take shelter of Advaitacharya. The state of affairs were dismal. From a political point of view, Navadvip and all of Goda Desh was overrun by foreign rulers who tried to impose their rules and laws upon the people. It was very difficult. There were forced conversions. Cows were slaughtered, thrown into the wells, and when people drank the water, not knowing that it had been sullied, they were told, now you have drunken impure waters, you gullible Hindus. Now you are no longer Hindus. You are part of our religion now. Intolerable. But perhaps from the spiritual point of view, at least from that point of view, more dismal was the total divergence, is it called? Or, you know, they diverged from the spiritual principles of Sanatana Dharma, and the people were just worshipping goddesses of all kinds. Sometimes cats were worshipped, because anything goes. Let's be tantric. That's what the philosophy of the day was. And people really had turned away from the pure tenets of the Vedic scriptures. So a shining light arose in this dismal or dark conditions. Advaitacharya, who made a vow. This is what he said. I shall worship Krishna now in a purified state of mind. I shall constantly petition him in humbleness. That was, you know, when man cannot change anything, or when we come to the end of our wits, when we just see, oh, life has gone out of my control. Latest at that moment, it's wiser to do it before so that you don't come into this position. But latest then, we must turn to the Almighty. This is Advaita Acharya. He said, my name Advaita will be fitting only if I'm able to induce Krishna to inaugurate the movement of the chanting of the holy name. My dear devotees, when will you fulfill the meaning of your name? Let us say someone of you is called... should I take a real person? No, then I might embarrass the real person. Let us call our a paradigmic Vaishnava who represents all of us. Balaram Das. When will you, Balaram Das, fulfill the meaning of your name and become a unadulterated, constant, a doubt-free servant of the Supreme Lord? No? While he was thinking about how to propitiate Krishna by worship, the following verse came to his mind. Oh, I should chant with you a verse. I'm sorry. What is the verse which we have here? I'm ahead of me. My markers are Prakatiya. I'm sorry, please. Ah, yes, here. Prakatiya deke achaya sakala samsara. Prakatiya deke acha sakala samsara. Krishna bhakti gandahina vishaya vyahara. Hina vishaya vavahara. Prakatiya deke acharya ya sakala samsara. Gatiya deke acharya sakala samsara. Krishna bhakti gandahina vishaya vyavahara. Advaita Acharya, having appeared, he found the world devoid of devotional service to Sri Krishna because people were engrossed in material affairs. Some were overwhelmed by the foreign rulers, and others were having concepts which were not in tune with the idea that we are pure servants of the Lord. Everyone was engaged in material enjoyment. Yes, the worship was done only with that God give me a Mercedes Benz. That was a hit song of my generation. Oh Lord, would you? No need to bring back times that which were only centimeters away from being glorious, but they were away. Everyone was engaged in material enjoyment, whether sinfully or virtuously. That means by their religious, so-called religious ceremonies. No one was interested in the transcendental service of the Lord, which can give total relief from the repetition of birth and death. Seeing the activities of the world, the acharya, the teacher, felt compassion and began to ponder how he could act for the people's benefit. I will ask you a question at the end of the lecture, how you might act for the people's benefit, honoring this the theme of this, one of the themes of this day. So Advaita Acharya thought, Apanishi Krishna Jadi Karenavatara Apani Achari Bhakti Karena Prachara. If Shri Krishna were to appear as an incarnation, he himself would preach devotion by his personal example. Namavinu kalikale dharma nahi ara kalikale koiche hobe Krishna avatara. In this age of Kali, there is no religion other than the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. But how in this age will the Lord appear as an incarnation? And then he made this vow, which we heard already. I shall worship Krishna in a purified state of mind, and then I shall constantly petition him in humbleness. My name, Advaita Acharya, will be befitting only if I am able to induce Krishna to inaugurate the movement of the chanting of the holy name. Now, while he was thinking like this, what can I do to change the state of affairs? Both, you know, what can I do? I can't do anything. I have to call out for Krishna. But how do I do this? How do I make him appear? A verse came to his mind, which we will chant today together. It's from the Gotamiya Tantra, which reveals an amazing secret about how to gain Krishna's affectionate concern, no? How to make him attentive to us. It's a very amazing verse. You will relish it. It, as you say in Great Britain, it will make your day. No? So please repeat the verse. It is written down here underneath the Bengali verse. Tulasi Dala Matrena. Jalasya chulukena va vikrinite svam atmanam bhaktebhyo bhaktavatsala tulasi dalamatrena jalasya chulukena va vikrinite svam atmanam bhaktebhyo bhaktavatsala. Beautiful, you chant so nicely. Couldn't someone else please chant? Maybe our Maharaji is. Tulasi dala matrena jalasya chulukena va vikrinete svamatmanam bhaktebhyo bhaktavatsala. Yes, perhaps a Vaishnavi? Tulasi dala matrena jalasya chulukena va vikrinete svamatmanam bhaktebhyo bhaktavatsala. Very, very nice. Your inner mood is very wonderful. This is what a devotee does. When a devotee is before any task, actually, he will look how to do this task for some hint in the Shastra. He knows, the devotee, or she knows, that without guidance I'm blind. You know, I cannot see my path clearly before me. And this is now a big task, you know, to bring the Lord here down, to make him appear and descend into this world. So he referred to this verse where the affection of Krishna is highlighted and how absolutely it's easy to please him by just a little. You will see. Shri Krishna, says the verse, who is very affectionate towards his devotees. No, he is a close God. He is affectionate towards his devotee. Sells himself to a devotee who offers him merely a tulasi leaf and a palm full of water. Does this verse remind you of something that Krishna himself says? It does remind you. What are you reminded? Patram pushpam phalam toyam. Yes, I'm all. Would you be so kind to tell us the translation? Yes. I shall accept whoever offers me with bhakti, that's important here. What is a patram? A leaf? A flower and some water. No? This is the three things here. And this verse says two things are enough. A leaf and a palm full of water. Why is this so? Why is Krishna like this? The Sanskrit word is bhakta vatsala. He's affectionate to his devotees. So Advaita Acharya considered the meaning of the verse in this way. This was his personal thoughts, his practical translation of the verse. Not finding any way to repay the debt he owes to one who offers him a tulasi leaf and water, Lord Krishna thinks, there is no wealth in my possession that is equal to a tulasi leaf and water. Thus the Lord liquidates the debt by offering himself to the devotee. Considering in this way, the Acharya began worshipping the Lord. So let us awaken our dormant intelligence here. I feel it's a little dormant in the audience still. Krishna thinks, what shall I give to the devotee who gives me this precious, highly valuable gift of leaf and water? And bhakti, of course, must be there. No? I have nothing. My devotee has outdone me again. Okay, I will become his slave. I will offer myself to the devotee. Here I am. I'm yours now. Considering in this way, the Acharya began worshipping the Lord, because if Krishna says, I'm yours, then he will say, okay, if you're mine, then let me request you something, and you must do it. Thinking of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, Advaita Acharya constantly offered tulasi buds in water from the Ganga. He was sitting at the bank of the Ganga. He had a little altar, and on the altar he placed a shila. Does any one of you know of what is the name of that shila which he placed there? It's perhaps a little hidden. It was a Nrsinga shila. You can see this shila still. It's the same shila. It's there for your darshan. in his temple in Shantipur. He appealed to Sri Krishna with loud calls, and thus made it possible for Krishna to appear. Krishna felt, I'm the debtor. I have to liquidate my debt. What does he want? He calls out for me. Therefore, the principal reason for Sri Krishna's descent is this appeal by Advaitacharya. I have not, let me say it again. Therefore, the principal reason for Sri Chaitanya's descent is this appeal by Advaitacharya. Mukhya means the principal. The Lord, the protector of religion, appears by the desire of his devotee. And now, Krishna Das Kaviraj quotes a very well-known verse. This is a verse very well known. Let me just read it to you. Are you still able to listen, or is there a verse overload? You will try, no? Jiva Goswami gives you a tip which I have always applied, especially in the morning when I'm a little bit under the morning, you know. I don't know how to say it in English in a polite way. I know how to say it in impolite ways, but I won't do this. He says we should follow the scripture like a calf follows the mother cow. The calf knows the mother cow has what I value most, milk. And I follow with utmost interest behind the cow so that I can drink the nourishing milk from her udder. So in the same way, the devotee follows Shastra or scriptures, thinking that I might glean a deep understanding here. Hare Krishna. Oh my Lord, you always dwell in the vision and hearing of your pure devotees. You also live in their lotus-like hearts. It means the devotees can see Krishna, the pure devotees. They hear about him constantly, and they can see him in the lotus-like heart, which are purified by devotional service. Once there was a journalist who asked Prabhupada, can you see Krishna? And Prabhupada said, yes. So there was another devotee who wanted to explain Prabhupada's yes to the journalist so that it would be acceptable to the mind of the journalist. He sees him as Paramatma, the super soul everywhere. And Prabhupada said, no, see Krishna. And at one time, I remember Prabhupada was asked, what does Krishna do at the moment in your heart? And Prabhupada says, he takes a rest at the moment. So here the verse says, you always dwell, at least the translation, this Prabhupada's translation says, you always dwell in the vision and hearing of your pure devotees. Sanskrit verse is Shrutekshita, no? O my Lord, who are glorified by exalted prayers, you show special favor to your devotees by manifesting yourself in that eternal form in which they welcome you. So, Advaitacharya was thinking of the Lord who would inaugurate the Dharma, the Yuga Dharma at this time. And the essence of the meaning of this verse is that Lord Krishna appears in all his innumerable eternal forms because of the desires of his pure devotees. This is a lot to take in, I know. Let us condense it. Let us speak it in a way that a laborer at the London Harbour will understand it. He is a great devotee, a Bhakta avatar, the avatar of a Bhakta, who's also an Acharya, Advaita Acharya, who sees the situation of the world is deplorable, now only the Lord himself can set things right, and he contemplates about how he can make the Lord appear, and remembers a verse from the Shastra, which is repeated in its essence everywhere. It is known that the Lord, he has one quality, is the protector of his devotee, and he appears when he is just worshipped in a simple, accessible way, you know. And then he will appear in the form in which the devotee meditates about him. This is established in this with this Bhagavatam verse. And this is how the Lord appears. It's very nice. If you want to understand this verse, I will give you the reference. I know there are some English devotees who read. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila. Write down, please, the reference. Adi Lila, CC Adi Lila 3, text 111. It is very interesting how Prabhupada explains this particular verse here. The idea is that the Lord is acting here, Advaita Acharya acts as a teacher who tells us how the Lord might appear also in our lives. There was a very moving scene once in Mumbai, which Giriraj Maharaj remembers. Prabhupada was in, we didn't have a temple yet, he was in an apartment of a life member and gave a morning class to perhaps a few devotees, 15, 17 devotees like this, small number. And all of a sudden the door opened and a very dark-looking man came in. He was only dressed with a gamsha, his body was dark, and everyone thought, what does he want? And he just went through the devotees and approached Prabhupada, and then he somehow got a flower, and he offered the flower in devotional vase to Srila Prabhupada, paid his obeisances to Prabhupada. He was a laborer who was working there, and went out. So Prabhupada was so much moved by the man's simple act of devotion that for several moments he was unable to speak. He was choked up. He just looked down and closed his eyes. Finally, in a voice that was shaking with emotion, he said, I will read this now, such a simple man. Yet somehow he understood that a saintly person is here, and he gathered some flowers to offer. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Please join me, you all know this verse. Patram pushpam phalangto yam yo me bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhaktyuparitam ashnami prayatatmano. If one offers me a leaf or flower with love and devotion, I will accept it. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and even his heart is touched by such devotion. What to speak of an insignificant living entity like me? How much more I will feel overwhelmed. See, Prabhupada's very soft and heart. If the Lord, the Supreme Lord, is pleased by offering a simple offering of flower, fruit, and water, leaf is there, no? Then how much more I am pleased. So here, Advaita Acharya opens a door to an area of devotional service that is very, very desirable for all devotees. Bhakti means to think, my Lord, no? Mamatva. There's a verse which Rupa Goswami quotes, great authorities, Prahlad, Bhishma, and others have expressed that bhakti means he's my Lord, no? And I can please him by a simple act of devotion. This is very, very nice. Regarding this, there are two little pastimes of Advaita Acharya which I would like to share with you today. I read them in a book about Advaita Acharya. It was a compilation from various shastras. And I remember Ananta Sanghita was quoted often, and so on. And there this pastime is described, that Advaita Acharya, after he had completed his puja for that one day, took the flowers. He also offered flowers to Tulsi. You know, Navadvip is full of champak flowers and everything. He did his pujas. He just threw them into the Mother Ganga, and something very amazing happened. The flowers did not go the ordinary way. How do flowers float when you throw them in the Ganga? In any river, they go downstream, right? You are city boys and girls, but this much you should know. You know, they go downstreams. They go in the direction of the streams. But these flowers of Advaita Acharya went upstream, if that is an English word. They went against the stream, and they found their way to a single... So a lady who was very devotedly bathing upstream, several kilometers upstream, kilometers or miles, you say, in your country, and who was offering Ganges water and praying, and these flowers came and built a circle, was building a circle around her. Can you... understand who this lady was? Sachi Mata, you know everything. Sachi Mata, yes. The Lord appeared through her. Advaita Acharya was also, when Mahaprabhu had appeared, his name was Nimai. But at one time there was a deep problem. He wouldn't drink the milk of Sachi Devi. Now a child who doesn't drink his mother's nourishing milk is doomed to die. And we hear that the other children of Sachi Devi had all left very quickly after their birth. So when Mother Sachi held her little boy in the hand and he wouldn't drink the milk, he thought, oh no, history of my fate will repeat itself. She had given birth already to an elder boy before Gauranga Mahaprabhu. His name is, good name, Vishwarup, yes. But still there was the traumatic memory that her other children who came before left right after the birth. This is extremely traumatic for a lady, and she was panicking for what to do. And it was known that there was a great acharya, a reader and an interpreter of the scriptures in Shantipur, Advaitacharya. So the family sent a messenger, please, please come, Advaitacharya, come and inspect the situation and give the solution, how the little boy will drink. And Advaitacharya came, looked at Mother Sachi, paid her obeisances, he knows everything, is Advaitacharya, and could say that Mother Sachi was not initiated in the Gopal mantra. That was the reason. Her milk was not prashadam. There was no mantra. So the Lord did not drink unoffered milk, you know, which was not sanctified by mantra. So Advaitacharya, don't worry, this is pastime of the Lord, just hears the Gopal mantra chanted and he will drink, which Sachi Devi did. So she was in one way initiated by Advaitacharya, and then brilliant in the sense he was so effulgent, started to suckle the breast milk of his mother. Very, very dear thing. Yes, so on these appearance days of Advaitacharya, we can pray. He actually, through his, I once read an earlier publication of Srila Prabhupada, through his trumpet-like calling, it was very loud, in other words, he reached the Lord, and he subsequently appeared. In this verse, this is called the Mukhya, the primary reason, his name is also Acharya. He gave a teaching to all of us that through proper prayer and a small little gesture of devotion, like here this offering of water and tulsi was readily available. You can also take a flower, homegrown English flower. I don't know what flowers grow on this island in a natural way, but you know. You know, and turn to the Lord and request Him for a devotional request. Why not? Why not? This is, for me, the great lesson of Advaitacharya, and these beautiful shlokas of the Bhagavatam. There was something else which I wanted to share with you, though. Please allow me to just retrieve that. Yes, here it is. Memory, no? It works when Krishna is merciful. It fails you when he's not merciful. This is really Savasya Cham. He's in the heart, and from him come knowledge, remembrance, forgetfulness. I really didn't know what I wanted to say because it's not on my notes. What's on the notes, that's easy. You just go by the notes and you talk about the notes, but this is not on the notes, but it's in my heart. I wanted to tell you this. My dear devotees, please listen now very carefully. I have only one chance to address you. This is the only thing, and I have obviously thought about what I will say now, so this is for you, and kindly give me your full attention now. I want to repeat something which I heard Navin Krishna Prabhu presenting. It will come in a moment. Memory is... I had it, but now it's gone already. Perhaps Krishna. Savasya cham rini hiridi sanivishta. I know what I want to say, but I don't have the words at the moment. It will come, if Krishna is merciful. But when you try to remember, then it doesn't come, so maybe I should relax the brain. Subject is clear, but the wordings were so nice and brief. Is Navin Krishna here? Not yet. So, no, it's about this, what he presented. Sometimes the Lord is, why is it not on my notes? Okay, then I will tell you what the meaning of it is. Maybe someone who was there can help me remember. There is a circle. In the beginning of the circle, you pray to... No, there are hard times, and then the devotee or then a person endeavors very hard. It's about the circle which he showed, no? Oh, so embarrassing. I'm supposed to be an older devotee who knows everything. Here I am. I don't want to say, let me then say it entirely in my own words. So when you are praying to Krishna in a very, very deep way, Krishna will come and help you. The early devotees who made our yatra in England prosper were really in the most simplest of circumstances. They were working in a very hard way and in a very surrendered way, and Krishna somehow came to them and helped the yatra to be to come to this state where we are now. A beautiful temple, a wonderful haveli, I think you call it in Gujarati language terminology, this beautiful place there, and so on. From these hard times where the devotees really turn to the Lord, so many wonderful things come. So the normal circle is, if we are presented with the so-called good times where everything is available, we take them for granted and we become a little bit complacent and overlook what has been placed in our hands. And at that time, when we come to this part, we may lose our devotional fervor or intensity, and as the saga goes, after some time, we come back to hard times. Then those who are still alive in the hard times will start to pray intensely, to do very devoted service to Krishna, and will create something very wonderful, because Krishna is reciprocating with the devotee. And then will come a time, again a good time, and again everyone will go smooth sailing, and again the circle goes the other direction. We lose the blessings. So I wanted to remind you, as a guest to your wonderful yatra, what has happened here due to the to the early devotees is really a paradise of preaching. You have created something that is unparalleled in the world, as far as I, at least unparalleled in the Western world, let us say like this. There is a beautiful manor, and then there is the haveli with sufficient space for many things. There are many people who are contacted and touched by Krishna consciousness. Temple are all over the British yatra. But what we can also see is, now when all of this is there, we are perhaps losing a little bit our devotional fervor, our intensity, and so on. If you don't want the circle of difficult times with a lot of effort, with a lot of wonderful results, and then becoming complacent or creating mental problems which are really only in the mind, and then losing your devotional fervor, so that you come to hard times again where you all try hard. If you don't want this, I want to encourage you to take this path. Okay, the yatra has developed phenomenally. You are one can only say it like this if one is an uneducated person like me. There's only woo to say. It is here, no? If you want this to continue and stay enthusiastic, then I request all of you to see a wonderful platform has been created from which you can create wonders. This will be good for you, and this will be good for the rest of the world. We are seeing in our mind's eye Advaitacharya, who is sitting at the banks of the Ganga, having generations and generations upon generations of poor suffering souls in the mind, and he has this realization: I can't help them alone. I'm an acharya, I'm a teacher, yes, but I'm standing up against such impossible odds. Our country is governed by invading governments and so on. I want to keep it unpolitical. I just want to describe it like this. And people have strayed from the pure path of Krishna consciousness. They're simply, sometimes they were worshipping cats. They were really making a mockery out of the ancient teachings of the Vedas. My only way, only possibility to help is to pray to the Lord, because I can't correct the ills of the time and make the Lord appear. And by his fervent prayers, his clarion call, this is, I read this somewhere, he reached the ears of the Lord. When the Lord had appeared, he said, "Advaita Acharya, I was peacefully resting and I heard your calls. They were piercing through the layers of the universe and reaching my ear, and I could not stay any longer in my resting position. I had to come due to your calling. You made me appear." So this was Advaita Acharya. So, what will you do to make Krishna appear in your life? What will you do to convince Krishna? What will be your clarion call or your trumpet-like call? It means intense call. What will you do to wake up from the present situation to an ecstatic, dynamic, happy, dare to say it, form of practical Krishna consciousness? Advaita Acharya's example is there for us to follow. That is also the wonderful example to turn to Krishna, to see that we alone are perhaps not powerful enough to bring away, to bring about the desired change in our life. Whenever you see your own limitations, turn to the unlimited. Ask him, take shelter at his lotus feet. And that will help you to hear, I would say, a new language I have learned, to step up your game. Modern English. come to that platform. Please be careful. There's this circle of degeneration in life. First, people are very eager to turn to the Lord. They work hard. Then a wonderful situation is created in which we find ourselves, and then we who are in that beautiful circumstances, comfortable circumstances, might lose our, here comes my new English word, our devotional fervor. Can you understand this English word? Good. We might lose our devotional fervor. We might become lukewarm. Then we have then everything will become dismal around us. No? So this is some message from the appearance of Advaita Acharya. Thank you very much. I'm so sorry. It is sometimes good to be embarrassed in public, as I was today. I just can't. I knew it so well, but jumps. Krishna has erased it from my memory. Wonderful. We should always remember we are humble servants of the Lord. Absolutely dependent on him as far as knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness is concerned. I know, I would sit in the car and I said, "This is my..." But the Lord just took it away. I was trying to meet the spirit of what I wanted to say, but I could have said it much better. Please excuse me. Hare Krishna. So, I have ended what I wanted to say. I thought we just chant this one mantra to Advaita Acharya together again, and then I would be very happy if you have some questions. Is it here? Yes. Advaitam, Harinadvaitat, Achayam, Bhakti Samsanat, Bhaktavataram, Ishamtam, Advaitachayam, Ashraye. I surrender unto that Advaita Acharya, who is non-different from Hari, the Supreme Lord. He's called Advaita, and because he propagates the cult of devotion, he's called Acharya, teacher. No, he's the Lord and the incarnation of the Lord's devotee, Mahavishnu and Sadashiva. Together. No? Therefore, I take shelter of him. So, finished! But we still have a little 10 minutes time. What if you have any good question, please ask your good question. Maharaji, please ask your question. Sure.
Thank you.
Our Maharaji was first. I'm sorry. I will come back to you after some time. So please hand the microphone. And I will certainly make sure, if the time is not there, I will come to you and will speak to you. Don't worry. Yes.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. Maharaj, here we're hearing about how Advaita Acharya, he was doing something externally very simple, but he had a very deep intensity in his heart. So I was just reflecting on my own life that sometimes when we do something very simple for Krishna, it seems that intensity is not there. We find it very difficult to generate that focus on Krishna, that crying out for Krishna. So what we often try to do is make a more bigger offering on the external with the hope that that will increase also the inner dependence, the inner intensity to do that service for Krishna. So I just wondered whether you had any thoughts on this, that to develop the inner intensity, is it that we try to do externally something more, or is it that is there some other way to develop that inner intensity?
Thank you for asking. because I have so much affection for you. I'm I don't just want to give a quick answer. How can we jumpstart our sleeping bhakti? You know, that is. So I always said, bhakti comes from a bhakta. You know, so we might not be able to generate it on our own. We have to see that we have go in good association where we feel safe to reveal our heart and our inequities, I don't know the English word, so where we are not yet so good, you know. I want to say something which you will appreciate very much. In kirtan, there are three elements which have to be there, and I believe these three elements, we will find they have to be everywhere in our devotional life. But here I'm talking now very specifically about kirtan. There has to be raga, that is the melody, tala, the rhythm. You know, when we do kirtan, we sit down and we sing a certain melody, and it should be in a melody that others can easily follow, a melody which is appropriate for the audience, and they are the way they can appreciate melodies. Then there should be a tala, a rhythm in kirtan. But then comes this last element, which is very difficult, and I think you asked for that. It's the bhava, the inner expression, the inner longing, and so on. Kirtan leaders and kirtan singers who only have the melody and the rhythm right, they will lack the devotional experience when there is no genuine bhava. This makes the difference between a good kirtan, where some heart purification comes, and a musically perhaps perfect kirtan. These are the three elements which are there in kirtan. Now this final element, which is the heart of kirtan, so to say, the Krishna conscious orientation, it is not so easy to generate. You can generate the rhythm, no difficulty, if you know. You can generate the melody, and you can find it on the harmonium, and so on. But to generate the bhava, I can only say there are circumstances that are favorable. And it is always said the most favorable circumstances that give birth and rise to bhava, which is the heartbeat of spiritual, anything spiritual. It is always said it rests in the heart of devotees who have this. That's where you get it. It's just like the bee gets the dust from which it can make honey from the flower. And the bee has to go to the flower to get this. Then he takes it, and then it, by some process, inside process, becomes honey. You know, this sweet taste. So we need to go to the flower like devotees to get this ingredient which we need to for our own Krishna conscious bhava. This is why Krishna consciousness will always be a very personal spiritual movement. And obviously there are devotees, there are two types of devotees from devotional sangha where you can get the bhava. Very advanced devotees, or devotees who are like-minded, where somehow the transfer can work, and usually it is when Krishna sees that two devotees are honestly discussing, he showers his mercy at that time. I have seen in honest Vaishnav conversations, bhava is born. You know, that mystical element that is outside of our reach. There's no bhava store anywhere, not even in ISKCON. You know, that is in the heart of the devotee. That is there, and that gives life to our devotional practice. Because I was concentrating on my answer, And I don't know. I have become, my memory has become so weak. Have I answered your question? Because, yeah? Good. Lord in the heart was merciful. No, that is when you become old, my dear devotee, elderly. I'm now in a few days 70 years old. What a scandal. You know, and at this age, you know, because sometimes we don't sleep enough, and sometimes we don't, you know, we are so active and we don't take enough care, then we are a little, it doesn't work. Then you are, I can think straight, don't worry, but I do forget. But some things not. It's a selective, I think memory becomes selective at that time. But for instance, I had it already what I wanted to say, but I could only give a poor summary of what I wanted to say. I tried to get an exit. Wait a minute. When I was in the car, I knew exactly, and I had the very nifty English expression. But, boom! Total void in the brain. Hare Krishna. Brain fog. Yes, when you get older, this will happen to you also. Hare Krishna. Good. I have a very intense day today, so I will just briefly talk privately to that devotee. I will let all of you go. It's now 9 o'clock. Is there something which you could take away from this class, perhaps? I think it is important that you that we remember that shloka, which we are, the Lord becomes easily pleased if we offer Him this. It is something like our patram pushpam phalangto yam, which Prabhupada quotes here, no? That the Lord will speak to you, my dear devotees, like He spoke to Advaita Acharya. Just turn to Him in a simple way of devotion, and He will enliven your heart, your tired heart. He will enliven your illusioned heart. Sometimes illusion is there in the heart. Your corrupted heart. Maya is also there and corrupts us. Yes. But the Lord is there. He can help. And for me, that is the great great gift of Advaita Acharya. The hopeful gift of Advaita Acharya. So, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yes.